This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverins. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour, Thursday, February 15th, 2018. On this second day of Lent yesterday, when you went to Ash Wednesday services, how did they go? We'll talk about that with Father James Kubicki, our Thursday spiritual director. What did you hear? Repent and believe in the gospel, or remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We'll unpack those Ash Wednesday messages and also hear what Archbishop Charles Chaput said in his homily yesterday in Philadelphia. That's all coming up this morning. And Monsignor Stuart Sweatland with our Morning Air edition of Go Ask Your Father in just seconds at 888-914-9149. But as we begin this new day, we begin it in prayer and invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we begin our conversation this morning with Monsignor Sweatland and with you at 888-914-9149, sadly, we have to begin with another school shooting tragedy. It's the third worst in U.S. history. Story that broke right after 2:30 Eastern time yesterday. 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, the alleged gunman who opened fire with an AR-15 assault rifle, purchased legally. This happened at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School, Parkland, Florida. 17 souls are dead, both students and adults. All of us are feeling some sense of numbness today, and our very confidence in sending our kids out to school has been shaken. It's just a natural human reaction. But what about being a part of the solution? And what are some of the solutions as well, among the things we'll talk about with Monsignor Sweatland? Monsignor, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Again, we are this combination of numbness and anger as we see what happened yesterday. And also, your heart breaks, and it does have to break a little bit for Nicholas Cruz, who is this 19-year-old, the suspect in this deadly shooting. So much went wrong in this young man's life, and he also fell off the radar of any mental health professional. And yes, he did take the lives of 17, but at the same time, he carried a lot of crosses in his life.
Most certainly. And again, we're sitting talking about these things again and again and again. By some people's reckonings, there's been on average one school shooting a week since that terrible shooting in Connecticut. And they're not all this violent, of course. And we all know I run a university, a college, so it's it could happen here. And we're all just one bad decision by someone who is bent on destruction and harm away from such things. And so we need that kind of deep conversation in our society, asking why, among all the rich countries of the world, we're by far the most violent, we have the most civil unrest when it comes to this, have the most deaths in murder by far. And what is wrong with our culture that it is so frequently that we're standing here or sitting here talking about these kinds of things day in, day out, week in, week out.
As Catholics, we understand the power of prayer. We hear all kinds of people get before microphones, from moms and dads to elected officials, say thoughts and prayers, and those are critically important and appreciated at a time like this. But talk a little bit about that power of prayer. We're praying 100 million memoraries, our goal this year, to eradicate abortion in the United States. We understand as Catholics the power of prayer, yet our faith is shaken at this point in time. So how do we get away from the fact that we feel vulnerable and perhaps not appreciating the true power of prayer in this situation?
I think it's helpful to remember when prayer changed everything, to remember instances which are so startling obvious that prayer was the reason for change. We just had the 70th documented miracle at Lourdes. We think in our own lifetime of the falling of the Berlin Wall without shots being fired. And we think of the change in South Africa that brought the end of apartheid. Those both, in my opinion, are miraculous examples of the power of prayer coordinated with the kind of action necessary to bring about peace and justice. I would argue that our own civil rights movement in the United States, though there were instances of violence, not the least of which is the killing, the murder of Martin Luther King, but the civil rights movement in the United States, a lot of its success can be attributed to the spiritual roots of that movement. So it doesn't always have to end in violence. Now, we look at the great original sin of America and slavery, and that did lead to a violent war, the only way to root out that gross, gross injustice that people who claimed to be Christians were willing to tolerate for all too long. So sometimes there is the need of recourse to violence to overcome injustice and to defend the innocent. But those should be the rarest of occasions. And we know that prayer changes things. There's so many examples just in our lifetime.
Do we need to return prayer into classrooms? Do we need to return prayer in more public places? Usually when that happens, a war of words breaks out, somebody objects to it, and the prayer stops.
Well, that was a particular ruling of the Supreme Court, which flew in the face of the tradition of the United States. We were not founded as a nation based on freedom from religion, but we were founded as a nation on the freedom to fully exercise our faith. And the elimination of religious expressions in public and oh so many places is one of the real gross violations, in my opinion, of the vision of our founding fathers. That they got right. It's only the moderns who have gotten that twisted around.
You'll hear a lot today. We've heard already since the shooting yesterday, Monsignor Sweatland in Parkland, Florida, about Congress taking some kind of action, whatever that might be. And that is a part of the conversation after every one of these deadly shootings. There have been 18 so far this year, and it's only February 15th. As we look at our elected officials as Catholics, what do we need to do to educate them? If they are pro-life, if they are pro-birth, but they are not really saying anything to be a part of the solution here to the end of gun violence in schools, are they truly pro-life? And then how should we help educate them, perhaps, about their faith, a richer understanding of their faith?
Well, our bishops have for decades now been calling on what they call common sense gun restrictions. But, of course, that flies into the face of many other traditions we have here in the United States, not the
sure.
least of which is the way that the Second Amendment has been interpreted by our courts and probably the way that the Second Amendment was intended by our founding fathers. There's debate about that. It would take, I think, a constitutional amendment to seriously change the rights to bear arms. So my solution, one of my things is I say, okay, gun owners, those who strongly believe in the Second Amendment right and the NRA and their lobbyists, what are you going to do to make this change? You can't just keep screaming for the right to bear arms when oh too many people who have domestic violence in their background, who have mental illness in their background, like this young man who on Instagram was saying he wanted to kill the police, he wanted to kill students. If you're for the right to bear arms, you have the duty to see those arms used correctly. And so I think the ball's not in our Congress's court as much as it is in those who strongly lobby for the right to bear arms. What are you doing to see that those arms are used in an appropriate way and not used like they were yesterday in Florida?
Here's what one mom had to say yesterday after the school shooting in Florida.
Thoughts and prayers are wonderful. What we need in this country is less thoughts and prayers and more action against gun control. And we need to address the mentally ill in this country that don't have enough health care or access to mental health.
That's another very big part of it. And we were talking about this with Rhonda Barton, a licensed professional clinical counselor, in the last hour, is the fact that sadly mental health programs do get cut from budgets. Mental health programs, when they intersect with the healthcare system in the United States, is something that is not as strong as perhaps it should be to help a soul like Nicholas Cruz and others who really do need that help and that protection from themselves and from everyone else.
And that's so true. I was spending the day yesterday, at least the morning and the day before, with all my college president colleagues from around Kansas, the Independent College Association here in Kansas. And one of the issues that we discussed at length was the struggles we have on campus to provide mental health professionals to our students. And I can't sum up an over an hour conversation in a few words, but if I could summarize it or try to, I would say that almost to a person, those colleges, which aren't mental health institutions, they're institutions of higher education, said that the need for mental health professionals was greater than they could possibly provide. And that's even though I'm a small college here, that's what my situation is. I have one full-time healthcare professional. And I have, fortunately, several priests and religious on campus who can provide spiritual and personal counseling in times of need. If I didn't have the priests and religious here, it would be a real problem because there's such a need. But that speaks to a deeper issue in our society, of the breakdown of our society. And I hope everyone listening there realizes we are a society in crisis. We're in decay as a society. If you ever thought America was a wonderful society, you're kidding yourself if you think that is still true in so many ways. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of positive things about the United States. But our families, our communities, our cities, our rural areas, you know, it's not just a big city problem. You know, Appalachia, you know, the opiate, all if you start totaling up all the evidence of decay in our society, and it has to do mainly with the breakdown of the family and the fact that we have given up on God. God hasn't given up on us, but we have given up on God. Even among Catholics, only a quarter of Catholics even bother to go to Mass on Sunday. If you can't give God even your obligation, then you're not giving him the rest of your life. And this is an indictment of all of us. Now, this is why we must evangelize. I think the beginning of this is getting back to be in right relationship with God. And through God, we can be in right relationship with one another. But until God is front and center in our country, we're going to be dealing with this again and again and again.
And based on what Monsignor Swetland just said, how do we do that? How do we become a part of the solution? We are the greatest country on earth. God has given us so much. God has given you and me so much. How do we get together as a community of Catholics to start solving these problems, to bring prayer back into the forefront? I'd like to hear what you feel at 888-914-9149, the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line at 888-914-9149. In many ways, ties in today's gospel reading because Luke lays out Jesus's conditions for discipleship. Our gospel from the 9th chapter of Luke on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.